certified they are, we come to you another night of training school, and we just acknowledge you for your presence, and we just ask you to lead us in another facet of understanding, and we just glorify you for all that you do. In the name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be coming from Ezekiel chapter 20. And but before we get into that in detail, I just want to encourage you from something that I had written on it yesterday, and it was in reference to a post that I had seen, and I responded to it, and y'all just led me to address it as a subject matter. You know the way we deal with the scripture. You know, we're constantly learning. The hands walk around them. We're constantly learning. You know, learning things, and you know, we'll continue to do so. And one of the things that that I've always, you know, made a statement on is that, you know, because we are learning, we constantly, you know, coming into our understanding of some things, and when we do, you know, we'll make adjustments as they come. Even corrections if it's necessary, and so I'm excited, you know, I'm excited about having that that liberty, that freedom, to where we don't have to, you know, I grew up at a time when preachers felt the pressure of having to be able to answer every question and to know everything as far as the scripture is concerned. And I'll never forget when I first started pastoring. Lee had been pastoring too long, maybe about a year or so, and went and visited this couple, and his fiance at the time, she was coming to the church, and she had started coming through her sister, who was a member of the church. And so when I went and visited their home, the guy, you know, he asked me, he was like, I want to know, can you answer this question? And so I was like, okay, I mean, I can make an effort to do so. And he went on to say, you know, he went on to ask me the question. Well, when he asked, I was like, I don't know the answer to that. And I said, but the thing about it, I said, but if you give me, you know, give me a little time, I said, I can give you an answer. You know, I know the scripture talks about it, just that I don't know quite how to answer it at this point, because I can't remember what the passage say. And the guy looked at me, and he was like, you know what? He said, I'm going to join your church. He said, because you're the first preacher I ever come into contact with that just be straight up and honest and just say he don't know what, you know, what's up to say and what it means or something like that. And so I kind of, you know, got a little bit tickled behind that. And the guy, you know, started coming to the church based upon the fact that, you know, that I didn't know everything when it comes down to the scripture. So we're always learning and things like that. And so Isaiah 30 verse 21, and let's start, jump here, and then I'll move on, simply because it's just how he led me, and then we'll jump into Ezekiel chapter 20. And I think it may kind of, you know, mesh together. Ezekiel 30 verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Isaiah 30. But I'm just seeing Ezekiel, man, because it's just Ezekiel been running all through my head for the past 3 days, boy. So I look at other scriptures, and I'm calling it Ezekiel when it's supposed to be Isaiah chapter 30.
chapter
30. Yeah. Well, we're going to Ezekiel 20 later on.
Okay, so
Isaiah 30.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all fault. My bad. So Isaiah 30, verse 20, and then later we're going to Ezekiel 20. it's all coming together, y'all. So Isaiah 30, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. It says, and though, 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Now, you know, when you look at this passage at first glance, it gives you the impression, it gives the impression as though it is saying, okay, that that when we are in a circumstance for whatever reason or another, that it is Yah giving us instruction, telling us which way to turn. That's the way most people will take that. Again, I read it again. It's saying, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. So they're taking that this is Yah instructing a person which direction that they should go, you know, to turn to the right or to the left. You know, a person says, okay, Yah, which way do you want me to go? And Yah will say, okay, you know, go right or go left. You know, that's the way, you know, most people will look at this verse. But, you know, what we've gotten an understanding of is that we can't just pull verses out of a particular book in the Bible and take that now and run with it. You know, that's the way I was taught how to preach, you know, from watching other preachers. You know, they put out a set of scriptures and they deal with those scriptures because it was all designed to give you a frame of mind based upon their, I'm going to call it this way for lack of a better way to put it, based upon their manipulation. And so passages or scriptures would be quoted from a manipulative point of view because it was designed to get a person in a certain frame of mind. Say, for instance, if I wanted to, and I'm using verse 21, so if I'm teaching you how to hear from Yah, you know, I'll use this passage as an avenue to point out, well, you know, if Yah is not leading you to the left, I'm just using this example for lack of a better way to put it. If Yah is not leading you to go left or leading you to go right, then it's because you're not hearing his voice. You know, kind of deal. And we've heard these different messages, you know, taught throughout the years. You know, I even admit, you know, I used to do it too, you know, because that was the method by which I was taught how to study. I was taught how, you know, you study the scripture by, you know, going and finding your favorite set of scriptures, and you pull out all your favorite set of verses and you preach on it. You know, touch not thine anointed, and since you know, I'm anointed, you do that. Just reference to scare you not to touch me, you know, kind of deal. Or if I was needing some, you know, a financial, you know, if I was needing finances, then, you know, messages would be taught on where it would come across as making everybody believe that they were benefiting by sowing their seed, you know, so that they can get a harvest, because bottom line, I wanted my harvest, kind of did, you know. And so all of these messages, you have different scriptures that have been pulled out. One particular scripture that I think about a lot is 2 Chronicles 7:14. The church loved that passage. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Church people will say, you know, we are Yah's chosen people, you know, the church. We are the church, and if we just humble ourselves and pray, thanks. You need to be praying. And, you know, Yah not healing this thing because we're not praying as a church. All these different things that have been taken out of their contextual meaning in order to bring a sermon, and they all found it good. I admit, there were a lot of messages that I preached back in the day, and there was a lot of messages that I heard back in the day. I mean, it sounded real good. I mean, it really did. And one thing I love about Yah, he's such a good father that he can look on your heart and took all the most messed up sermons I was preaching and say, I'm just going to keep working with the baby until he grows. Yeah, I go back and listen to some of this stuff I preached back in the 90s and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, man, I have a clue. I thought I knew it all, but I didn't know nothing, you know. And y'all just showed his grace, you know, showed his grace. I believe without a doubt because he looked down on my heart and saw that I had a heart to want to teach the truth. And that's why, you know, it came in day and time when he started telling me, I'm not going to let you go this way. You know, he started saying, I'm making a decision in your life and I'm not going to allow you. And we'll get in Ezekiel 30 and deal with that part, where he's like, I'm not going to allow you to do something. I'm doing this for me. You know, and so when you look at verse 21 again, Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Now, in order to understand this passage, we're going to at least, you know, I encourage you to read all of Isaiah chapter 30, but we go up to verse 18, and it gives us really, really somewhat of a clearer understanding of what's actually going on leading up to verse 21. So when you look at verse 18, it says, and therefore will Jehovah wait. Wait means to tarry. You know, so if someone is waiting on you, they're tarrying. You know, they're hanging around, however way you want to put it. But it says, verse 18, and therefore will Jehovah wait. He will tarry, that he may be gracious unto you. That is awesome. I'm kind of getting excited, and I got to hold it down and get through the rest of it. Because just knowing what this means, it just leaves me in awe. But again, it says, and it really shows what a loving Father we have. This passage shows how Yah really loves us as his children. Now, verse 18 again says, therefore, when Jehovah wait, he will tarry, that he may be gracious unto you. Now, this is personal. I want to make it personal. He will tarry, and so I want you to get in that frame of mind, knowing that you have a Yah who will wait for you. He'll wait for you, okay? And the reason why he's waiting is because he have a purpose for you. You know, he has an expected end for us. You know, he want to do us good. He want us to be well. And so, again, verse 18, and therefore will Jehovah wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted. He's a man gracious being associated with it, gracious to us. He being exalted, it says that he may have mercy upon you, so that he may have mercy. So he want to be gracious and have mercy upon us. Then it says, colon now, it says, for Jehovah is a Yah of judgment. Now, when we look at judgment, it means to pronounce a sinner. You know, when you go before a court, they give you, you go before a court and go through the whole process, there's a verdict. There's a sentence that has to take place. So when verse 18 lets us know that there's something going on with us that will make Yah say this in verse 18 so that we can get down to verse 21 and understand what it really means. Okay? Verse 18 again, and therefore will Jehovah wait, he will tarry, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For Jehovah is a Yah of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him, that tarry for him. And so it lets us know that in the process of Yah tarrying or in the process of him waiting so he can be gracious to us. We have to understand that he's gracious and he shows his mercy obviously to all mankind. We all experience his grace and mercy. But when you look at this from the contextual meaning of Isaiah chapter 30, it lets us know that it's dealing with somebody who either has been or has the potential of walking in righteousness. Okay? Because when you look at the judgment that's taking place in verse 18, there is a sentence that he pronounces on us because of the actions that we take. Okay? So when we start to look at verse 18 to get down to verse 21, we have to say, what is it that the children of Israel, because this is Isaiah, so you know it's dealing with our nation. So you have to say, what is it that the children of Israel have done that will make Yah say, you know what, I'm going to sit back on this. And I'm going to sit back on it, but the reason why I'm sitting back on it is because my bottom line is I want to be gracious to this people. And I want to show mercy to this people. But I want to do it from a perspective of causing me to be exalted based upon their mindset from this judgment. Okay? So, verse 19 reveals what the judgment is now. Verse 19 said, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, that thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he shall answer thee. Verse 20, and though Jehovah give you the bread of adversary. Okay, here's where we're going now. We're looking at verse 20 now, where it says bread of adversary. We want to deal with that that word, okay? When you look at the bread, it's food, obviously. So you think about it from the perspective of it being food. But then when you look at it in the detail, it's talking about the bread of adversary or sorrow. So if he's saying in his word that there was something about our nation that put us in position where he could be gracious to us. And when we look at verse 19 tells what that gracious is. So when I go back up to verse 18, he's waiting on us as a nation so that he can be gracious to us according to verse 19. Verse 19 says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. That's the gracious. That's the mercy. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. So when I get to verse 21, I now have an understanding of why he's saying a word in my ear. There's something going on with me that makes me cry, okay? There's something going on with him that makes me cry out to him, and that cry has an attitude associated with it. And I'm going to ask y'all to help me preach it. That cry has I want to do it in a way to make you think without just you sitting back and letting me just give it all to you. So, in a nutshell, okay, I'm going to ask questions now. What is Yah's purpose for waiting or tarrying? What is his purpose for tarrying based upon verse 18? Why is he tarrying?
Show mercy.
What else? No, you got to say in verse 18. Don't start looking up in no ceiling on me. I'm asking you questions based upon the... So, Alan, what was that you said again? To show mercy, what else? Why is he tarrying? Verse 18 tells us, why is he tarrying? He want to show mercy, what else?
So
he can be exalted. That's another one. There's one more out there. Why is he tarrying?
To be gracious.
So when we look at his purpose for doing something, understand we have a good father. And our father is not tarrying just for the sole purpose of bringing his verdict on him. Although that is a reason why, but that's not his bottom line. His bottom line is he's saying, okay, I'm tearing because I want to be gracious to you. I want to show you mercy, and I want to be exalted. That's why I'm tearing. But now, since we understand the reason why he's tearing, now the next question is, what is the gracious of the passages now? What is the gracious and the mercy and the and him being exalted? Where can we find that in the set of passages? What is going to make him? What is going to manifest his gracious? What is going to manifest his mercy? What is going to manifest him being exalted? What is going to do that?
When he hears us cry.
Okay. When he hears us. Well, when he hears us cry. No, we're not going to take that one. Keep looking. Now remember, here's what you have to understand, because I take that, but I want more detail. Now, when you look at verse 19, I'm going to give you a little bit of hint. When you look at verse 19, there is a result that comes from his gracious, and maybe I should have asked it a little bit different. There's a result that comes from him being gracious and him showing his mercy and him being exalted. We shall weep no more, but why? That's true. We shall weep no more. Because mom's supposed to be crying, but then it does say we shall weep no more. But why are we not weeping anymore as a people? We're back in our lane, okay? That's the gracious part of Yah. That's his mercy, because he's saying, I have a bottom line. My bottom line is, now you can cry, and we're going to deal with that too. You can cry, but that's not my bottom line. My bottom line is, I want to wipe the tears, no tears anymore. The only time we as a nation not going to cry anymore, especially, you know, from a sorrow perspective, is because of having joy from being back in our land, okay? Now, verse 19, I'm going to go back up to verse 18. It says, therefore will Jehovah wait, he will tarry, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for Jehovah is a Yah of judgment. Blessed are all that wait for him, for the people shall dwell in Zion, in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Now, Mama Coach didn't mention that, and that's why I said I wanted to use that to a certain perspective, but at the same time, I wanted that detail that Alan was talking about too. So I'm not disagreeing with it, it's just that I wanted to come at another angle with it. So it's saying he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Now, I'm going to ask this based upon Mama Poe's bringing it out. Why would we cry? What is it that would make us cry? Based upon verse 18 and verse 19. What is it that, well, let me, I can't do it without adding verse 20. Exactly. Verse 20. So when you look at the cry, that's why I didn't want to, you know, take away from what Mama Cole said, but I wanted you to understand the cry and why he's announcing, okay, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though Jehovah gives you the bread of adversary. Now, what is bread of adversary to us? Don't start looking at the ceiling on me. You got to stay in the contextual meaning. What is the bread of adversary to us? What is our worst adversary? What is our worst adversary? Stay in the text. What is our worst adversary? Bingo. That is our worst adversary. And you know, people give all the credit to the devil, but our adversary is based upon what he's saying in the meeting. Our adversary is not being in the land. Our greatest adversary, that's why it says in verse 20, and though Jehovah give you the bread of adversary, adversity. Well, I'm saying adversary. The bread of adversity. What is our greatest adversity, not adversary? What is our greatest adversity? It's not being in the land. Answer that. That's our greatest adversity as a nation of people. It ain't the devil. I ain't telling no devil. I don't even think about the rapture. I don't give him no credit for nothing. He ain't nothing but a tool. My greatest adversity is when I look and long to be at home in the land by which Yah has given us as our inheritance. That's my greatest adversity. Because I know everything that pertains to life and godliness is in my heritage, in our land. Everything. All my bills are paid in my land. I don't have to worry about no debt whatsoever in my land. I don't have to worry about no health issues in my land. I don't have to worry about anything when I'm back in the land. Because when I'm back in the land, it means something. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand. That is our greatest adversary. You know, you get people, you know, they be tripping, talking about, you know, man, the white man this and the white man that. White man is not your greatest adversary. Our greatest adversary as a nation is that we are not in our land. Adversity. He wants the adversary. Our greatest adversity is that we're not in our land. Now, I want to stick with the word cry because it's a vowel key to understanding this passage. It says, for the people, verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Now, when you look at the word cry, it means to convene and cry out, okay, to shrek from danger, all these different things. To cry out, gather, call to be proclaimed, so it's a cry. So, in other words, he'd be gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. In other words, whatever we proclaim, okay, when he shall hear it, he shall answer it. Yah is saying to us, something to us as a people, in dealing with our adversity and the things that we cry out about, Yah is saying, okay, there's something about where you are that will make me answer your cry. Remember, I'm supposed to mention cry. This is a vowel word. This is a vowel key word that's in this passage here. What is it about you and I that will make Yah say cry, and I answer it? And on the other hand, what is it about you and I that will make us cry, and y'all said, I'm a tear. I'm going to wait. Come get this.
Said it's the verse that you said earlier where you said if my people who will call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then while I hear, because on this verse it says he'll do these things will he hear, but in that verse he said he's not going to even hear until we do those things. So I guess if we cry and we ain't humbling ourselves, or if we cry and we not turning from our wicked ways, or we cry and we not seeking his face, then he's going to tarry.
Exactly. Now, from that comment now, we go into verse 21. I'm going to read verse 20, then we go into verse 21. It says, and though Jehovah give you the bread of adversity, that means Yah is saying, okay, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you this. This is your food. Adversity is your food. Hear this, Israel. Adversity is your food. Why would I give you this food? Why would I give you this food? And though, verse 20, Jehovah give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. This is sustainment. He said, this is your sustainment. Food and water sustain the body. He said, I'm gonna give you this bread of adversity and this water of affliction. It says, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, I'm going up instead of down, that's my problem. Okay, verse 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Now, looking at verse 18 through 21, what is turning to the right hand and to the left? From verse 18, to deviate from what?
To deviate from what he's called us to do.
So when you look at people who take this out of its true meaning, they will think that Yah gives us instructions to let us know which way we turn, to the right or to the left. Yah is saying, no. What I do is when you turn to the right or to the left, he said, I make a judgment. I put a sentence on there and say, you know what? Since they're going to go to the right or to the left, I'm going to get them some food. Food is going to be adversity. And the food is going to be water of affliction. Food is going to be adversity. And the drink, what they're going to drink is affliction. He said, now, the reason why I'm tearing is because I am a Yah who loves you so much that I want to be gracious to you. I want to have mercy on you, and I want to be exalted through you. But the only way I can do it is I got to pronounce this sentence, then sit back and watch it take place. And through watching that sentence take place in your life or in our lives, then what it does is put us in position now where we humble ourselves. If my people who are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, now we tearing for him. Yah said, I'm going to wait on you. But in the process of me waiting on you, I'm going to feed you. And this is what you get for dinner. You get some adversity, and you get some affliction. And when you get tired of adversity and affliction, you're going to say, wait a minute, let me try something else. I'm going to try going back to my father. And when I go back to my father, I'm going to tear it down and wait for him. And I'm going to cry. Now we're coming back full circle. And when I cry out now, through my repentance, now y'all going to hear what I got to say. You're going to hear what I got to say. Let's go back up and we'll look at it now and we'll see it. Verse 18 said, and therefore will Jehovah wait, he will tear it, that he may be gracious unto you. That's his primary mission, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. These are his primaries. That he may have mercy upon you. Yah said, hear this, Yah is not this father who looked to destroy his children. All he had to do was watch our nation. He gave our nation hundreds of years to get it right. He told our nation so much, had prophets to speak to them so much concerning their rebellion, to the point the way it was like, oh man, ain't nothing going to happen. We've been hearing this all for hundreds of years, talking about how he going to send us into captivity if we don't do right. See, but we've been programmed to think that we have this father who desires to squish us with his thumb at the very little off course we get. He just gonna push us. Y'all say, no, I'm not looking to destroy you. But what I will do is when you get off course, I'll pronounce a sentence and I'll feast you something. It ain't going to be gracious, though. Although you may look at that to a certain perspective as being gracious because he could have just took us out. Exactly. You know, sometimes he's whooping, I'd be like, ooh, Lord, I'm so glad you just hit me across the head because, you know, I could have went that other route. So I kind of take some things as that is gracious, even when it's bad, you know. I've been in some bad situations, you know, last experience that I had was when that fire consumed me, and I was like, okay, you know, I got some bread of affliction and some adversity in that my nose hair was charcoal and my beard was, you know, burned and hair was singed and all that stuff. But you know, I thank Yah for his graciousness that I wasn't worse off. You know, so even in the adversity, I found something to say, Yah, you're gracious at the same time. So when you look at verse 18 again, he says, therefore when I wait, I'll tarry, that I may be gracious unto you. I don't want to be gracious unto my children. I want to be exalted in my children. I want to have mercy upon you. I want to have mercy upon my children. He said, this is why. He said, I want you to understand something. He said, for my judgment, for Jehovah Yah is a Yah of judgment. Yah said, I pronounce sentences on it. I don't let nobody get by. He said, whenever we as his children go to the right or to the left, he said, I have a judgment on it. He said, but understand, my judgment now is designed to get you right back in the position so I can be gracious to you, so I can have mercy upon you, so that I can be exalted in you. Well, I said, look at my baby. My baby got it going on. They're doing it exactly the way I thought about it. The type of father that we have. Then he says now, for Jehovah is a Yah of judgment, verse 18. Blessed are all they that wait for him. It is a blessing to wait for Yah. We're blessed when we wait for Yah. We're gonna end up in a much better state. We're gonna be happy. We're gonna turn out all right when we wait on Yah. I got to tarry for Yah. I'm scared to try to do something on my own. I need him in everything. Verse 19, then he gives the example by which is the ultimate graciousness, because when you go back up and look at Isaiah 30, he's dealing with Isaiah, or all the prophets was dealing with our nations about eventually being scattered from their disobedience. So when you look at this passage, it's all about him dealing with our disobedience. And from dealing with our disobedience, he's encouraging us, saying, come on, I'm tearing. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to wait. But I'm going to wait till my judgment come to pass on you, because it's going to get you where you're supposed to be. That's why I always say whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. Everything that each one of us has gone through, whether good or bad, has been designed for one reason or another to allow us to come to know Yah. Because when we look back on that circumstance, we can realize, or we should realize, that it could have been much worse. Yeah, what happened to each one of us, and maybe whatever circumstance we were dealing with, was a bad thing, but just think about it. Somebody lost their life in your same situation. But yet, Yah allowed those things to take place for whatever reason or another, in order so he could be gracious to us and have mercy upon us and be exalted in us. Look what you become based upon your bread of adversity and your water of affliction. Look at what you have become that has caused you now to stand for Yah, to be strong in Yah, to be able to be a vessel by which you can encourage other people who've gone through some of the things that you've gone through. Look at all that Yah is getting glory out of you in, because what happened to you didn't destroy you, but you came up out of that and you became better as a result of it, whether it was good or bad. I've gone through some bad things before, but that bad, even Yah tarried in that bad, because that bad caused me to look to him and to get on the right path, or at least to start on that journey to the right path, because I had said, okay, this is the road I don't need to be going down no more. All that was y'all caring, because see, y'all had told me, when I was a kid, I called you to preach, and so I had been rebelling for a long time. He said, I called you to preach. I said, no, I called me to play professional football. So he said, you know what? I'm going to feed you, boy. I'm going to feed you some adversity, and I'm going to feed you some affliction, because I want to be gracious to you in the end. Now, all of us can probably think of something that we've gone through, and like I said, it could have been good, could have been bad. Let's just take the bad for an example. If we really honestly judge ourselves, we realize that there may be at one time or another where we was operating in rebellion, and that may just been a bread of adversity or some water of affliction that caused us to maybe settle down and allow y'all to start dealing with us eventually, or, he start leading us to him in one fashion or another. All of us probably be honest. We probably can say, yeah, that kind of did cause me to think different on some things. Verse 19 now said, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. See, Yah allows us to go, or he gives us bread of adversity and water of affliction, because he don't want us to weep. He want to position us whereby through his verdict, it puts us in position now where we can stand in the righteous again. If my people call on my name, we'll humble themselves and pray. Seek his face, turn my weak ways. Then when he hear from heaven, and heal our land, so everything is designed so that we don't weep no more. Hear this now. Yah make you weep for end result. He feed us bread of adversity and water of affliction to cause the weeping to take place, because his bottom line is he loves us enough not to want us to weep. Somebody say, okay, what do you mean by that one? Help me with that one. See, sometimes, my girls are all grown now. My youngest one, she's getting ready to walk out the door in any minute now. she's singing now. But as her father, as their father, I would whoop them. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why would I whoop my children? Discipline. I'm going to say it in a simple way. I whoop my children so I don't have to whoop them no more. Did y'all hear what I just said? I whoop my children so I wouldn't have to whoop them no more. Did y'all hear what I just said? Because if I didn't whoop them, I would have continued to have to discipline them. Now, the discipline is already there. I'm talking about discipline as far as correction is concerned. I discipline them to do right, but I don't have to discipline them to do wrong, because I whooped them when they did wrong. I whooped them so I wouldn't have to whoop them down the road. Have your parents ever told you when you was a little kid, okay, little Johnny, don't go across the street? What did you do? Little Johnny went right on across the street. Got a whooping. And little Johnny didn't have to worry about going across the street no more, because every time little Johnny thought about across the street, he thought about that whooping. So Papa didn't have to whoop little Johnny no more. So that's what I mean when I say I whooped them so that I wouldn't have to whoop them no more. What y'all do? Y'all say, I'm going to give you some adversity. And I'm going to give you some affliction so that I don't have to give it to you no more. I'm going to feed you this. This is a full course meal in one shot. I'm going to feed you this, and I'm going to feed you this, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to wait, and the minute you get full of it, you ain't going to do that. You ain't going to go down that route no more. And when you don't go down that route anymore, y'all say, I can take that bread of affliction and that bread of adversity and that water of affliction, and I can put that up now. I don't have to feed you that no more. Why? Because now, through that course, that full course meal, it has taught us to say, okay, I'm going to go to Yah and see which direction I should go instead of just turning to the right and to the left, being like little Johnny, just running across the street whenever I want to. I'm going to look around and say, Daddy, can I run across the street? Even when the Bible goes across the street, I'm not just going to run across there. Why? Because I've been afflicted. And I've experienced some adversity from running across the street on my own. Now, through that affliction and adversity, it put me in a position now where I'm now seeking my Father for instructions on which way I should go. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. His purpose for verse 18 is to get to verse 19. He want to be exalted, but the bottom line is he want to get us to the point to where we're weeping no more. I want you to weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Yah said, get in me, line up with me. He said, as soon as you cry out, proclaim something, as soon as you start to decree it, he said, I'll hear you. Why? Because through those circumstances, we have now turned to Yah with a pure heart. I can't say it enough. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, when we humble ourselves, turn from going to the right or to the left, he said, then I hear you now. And when I hear you, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer. Verse 20, and though Jehovah give you the bread of affliction and the water of the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. When we started to humble ourselves, specifically as a nation of people, and specifically as individuals, Yah is saying to us, when you humble yourself and turn from that wickedness, from going to the right or to the left, doing our own thing, he said, I guarantee you, you will hear me. You hear all my teachers that I send to you. You will have a long line of witnesses confirming you're going the right way. This is the way you should go. This is what you should walk in. Okay? This is the foundational meaning or understanding of how we're supposed to look at verse 21. So verse 21, in a nutshell, is an encouraging message to us to let us know that we have a wonderful Father who is willing to allow us or to feed us dinner of adversity and affliction in order to turn us back to him so he can turn around and say, now this is what I really want to give you. I didn't want to feed you that adversity and affliction. I want to feed you some graciousness. I want to feed you some mercy. And I want to be exalted in you by saying, look at my baby. See how I bless them. See how they're walking in everything that I've called them to walk in as a nation. So that's what I want to do. He said, but sometimes I have to stand back. I have to tarry and allow certain things to happen to get each one of you, get each one of us to that point. Very important for us to understand that. Any questions or comments? We good? Well, here's what I'm going to do. This is 8 minutes. This is about 4 minutes after. I'm going to stop right there. I was going to go in Ezekiel 20. We'll just pick up on that sometime later. That was enough to chew on and bite around on and meditate on. I'll go ahead and stop there. Any other questions or comments?
Good.
Y'all understand it?
Okay.
So in a nutshell, as I get ready to close, always remember, you know, I encourage you to adopt this motto that I have, and that motto is, whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. Always look at that from that positive perspective, to know that each one of us live for a loving Yah who desires to be gracious and to have mercy upon us and to be glorified in us. And so everything, whether good or bad, that happens to us in life is always for our benefit. Okay? All right. In the words of my grandson, I'm Hemish. All right. Father Yah, we bless your name for, again, just another facet of understanding. We just thank you for seeking every way possible to show your mercy and your graciousness toward us. You desire to be exalted in us in the lives that we live. And Yah, we tarry for you. We wait for you and we seek you. And we even say beforehand, if for any reason we turn to the right or to the left, Yah, pronounce your sentence on us. Feed us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction so that we can now turn back toward you and realize that you're a loving Yah who, loving Yah and Father who desires to keep us on the right path. And you're willing to do whatever is necessary so that we may be all that you call us to be. In Yahushua's name we do pray. Amen.